Okay, let's set those to the side. Hebrews chapter 12 is where we're going to start. Hebrews 12, verse 15, our verse, be not bitter against them. Now, I want to say, Joe, I don't know where you picked up the man part in the title. Is that on the note somewhere? Yeah, the actual verse that the title comes from. Okay, so yeah, go ahead and turn to the back page of your outline, and it is highlighted in yellow. Okay, by the way, that was a mistake. I didn't take the highlighting off. I wasn't trying to emphasize anything by that. No, I really wasn't. I got the comment before we started. How come it's always the guy, okay? It's always the guy. So we're actually going to look at Colossians 3, okay? If we just look at the verse, then yes, it's always the guy. But we're going to look at that verse in context. Oh, there's a really deep context in that verse, in that chapter that we'll be looking at tonight. So let's go ahead and start by saying Hebrews 12 and verse 15. Recite it together, looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Okay, so we have spent, I think, 7 weeks, 8 weeks so far on this topic of bitterness. Are you getting sick of it? Don't say yes. Because that would be bitter, okay? have you, while looking diligently, as our verse says, examined bitterness in your life that you didn't know was there? I'll raise my hand to that. Yeah. Maybe you found that you're more bitter than you thought, perhaps. Or because we've been focusing on this, like Ray, as soon as it happened, he knew what was going on, you know. So praise the Lord for that again. And we have looked at different cures for bitterness. It's so important that we look diligently, and then when we find it, we need to confess it. To start with, okay, then seek forgiveness if that applies. We need to confess it, seek forgiveness, then direct our thoughts back to God and His sovereignty. Why? Why is that important to fight bitterness? Yes, yes, but why focus on His sovereignty? It's all His plan, right? The good, the bad, the ugly. We don't like it. We're not getting what we want. We're losing something that we think we should have, whatever the case is. And God says, no, I ain't giving it to you because I don't think it's best for you to have that right now. And then we get bitter. So we need to direct our thoughts back to God, back to His sovereignty, acknowledge that He is sovereign, and then do what with it? Accept it more than just acknowledge it. So tonight we're going to look at another cure, actually several that we can use with bitterness. In this chapter, Colossians 3, God lays out for us a number of different relationships in our lives and our primary roles in each of those relationships. Okay, so let's look at our role in relationships. Colossians chapter 3, verse 18 through chapter 4 and verse 1. I'll give you all the relationships real quick. Okay, so we're going to not in order of importance on this. It's just the order they come in Scripture. Wives, submit. Okay, that's what it says in Colossians. That's what God says. And then He moves on to husbands. They need to love. Children need to what? Oh, yeah, we got that one, don't we? Okay. Fathers, provoke not your children to wrath. It says fathers, but fathers/parents. Okay. Servants, obey And then the last relationship is masters, and it's give or just be fair. Be fair. So we have to go into this tonight with a predetermined, I guess, conviction that we will obey God's word. Now, anytime we go to study the Bible, what do we need for it to change us? I don't know if I'm asking that right. Yes. The what? A repentant heart. Good, good. Yes, Kimberly? There needs to be an action. Yeah, yeah. Part of the Trinity, too. The Holy Spirit. Okay? Because I have read of people, Voltaire, dead and gone, about atheist. As a boy, he had memorized Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and a couple other books of the New Testament. Okay? So he knew the Bible. But there was an element missing, the Holy Spirit, conviction, okay? And I think, this is just my thoughts on it, when I sit down to read the Bible, if I have no intention on doing what I'm reading, okay, it's just going to be reading. That's it. God, when we read the Bible, we need to read it with a humble submissiveness. Other words, like, okay, God, I'm going to read, and I'm willing to do whatever you show me. The door of my heart is open. Show me. Wow, you're going to get something out of the Word when we approach God's Word that way. But also, God also tells us what this looks like as we are doing these things that we're going to look at here. So we have a predetermined conviction that we're going to obey what God's word says tonight. And God's going to tell us what these things look like. Let's look first at Colossians chapter 3 and verse 23. It says, whatever ye do, do it heartily, as unto the Lord and not unto men. Okay, so whatever we do, we have to do it how? Heartily, as unto the Lord. Okay? So heartedly, not what would be the opposite of that? Half. Thank you, JD. Half-heartedly. Yeah, I know. Well, just as an example. The Bible says I'm supposed to tithe. Okay? I'm robbing God when I don't tithe. I know, I need to do that. So we just do it half-heartedly, okay? Bible says I'm not supposed to be bitter. Or the Bible says I'm not supposed to gossip. The Bible says that I am supposed to daily be in the Word. I am supposed to pray. I am supposed to talk to other people about Jesus. The Bible says, every Sunday we hear what the Bible says. And what happens a lot of times, people leaving the service, they will say, and maybe you have too, yeah, I know I need to do better at that. Okay, so spouses, okay, would you accept that from your spouse? Yeah, I know. I need to do better at that. No. Listen, okay, guys, your wives want to see a wholehearted response. They want to see you doing this change heartedly, okay, with everything you've got. So that's how we need to do it. But you might say, they don't deserve it. You don't know my spouse. You don't know my boss. How about our kids? You don't know my parents. What do you mean obey them? You don't know them. Okay, we're not doing this heartily as unto men. It's not for them. We are doing these things that we're going to look at unto God. Takes the imperfections of everyone else around us out of the picture at that point. This is the how we're doing it unto the Lord. But the next question is why? Why should I do that? Okay. Well, let's hear it from God. Why we need to do things heartily as unto Him. The very next verse of Colossians 3, verse 24, So we're going to do it heartily as unto the Lord, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. That's the why. So we can get stuff. Oh, but it goes on. There's another side to that coin. Verse 25. But he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he hath done. And there is no respect of persons. Why do we need to do things heartily as unto the Lord? We will be judged according to how we fulfill these roles that we're going to look at here tonight. God will judge us. And I love it at the end of verse 25 where it says, and there is no respect of persons. God doesn't care how long you've been a Sunday school teacher. You don't get any slack. Okay? It doesn't matter how much of a victim you think you are. God is not a respecter of persons when it comes to giving out judgment for not doing our part in these roles. Because it's not about them, the other half of the roles. It's not about what this person did to us or how they treat us, which would be our arguments. Okay? Well, yeah, but you don't understand how this person, they're always this way. This is what they did. This is the way they treat me. This is how I was taken advantage of. This is how blah, blah, blah. It's just about us and God. That's it. So I can't say, yeah, but God, you don't understand. They pushed my buttons. This went on for years and years and years. God's going to say, no, it's between me and you. That's it. A couple more things. If we are not fulfilling our roles, it may be because we're bitter at them. Okay? Husbands and wives. Wives, submit to your husbands. Husbands, love your wives. There's a role there. Okay? Back and forth. If we're not fulfilling our role, men, of loving our wives, it may be because we're bitter at them. And if they're not fulfilling their role, ladies, of submitting to your husbands, it may be because you're bitter at them. And if someone is not fulfilling their role, so men, if our wives are not fulfilling their role, according to what God says it is, we may become bitter. Remember, bitterness, not getting what we want. What do guys want in a relationship with their spouse? You're not married anymore, so you can say it. Respect. Okay. He's not going to go home and get elbowed or slapped or anything. Yes. That's why in the New Testament, God never commands a wife to love her husband. It's to honor, reverence, respect, submit. He's created us that way to need that. Okay? And men are never commanded to respect their wives. In that specific relationship, yes, we have respect one to another. Why? Because God created them to need love. So you bring those two needs together, and if everyone is fulfilling their role, guess what you got? Two gears meshed together, working smoothly, okay? But the other one isn't fulfilling their role. I'm not getting what I want. I may get bitter because of that. Looking diligently, okay? And we also have to understand that others may get bitter toward us when we don't fulfill our roles, our God-given roles to them. Now, I've mentioned husbands and wives. What about bosses and employees? Because that's in there. Masters, servants, bosses and employees. My boss is not fair. I have a right for this. I'm not getting it. Bitterness. Coming in. My employees are not are not doing what I tell them to. It's a constant struggle. They're constantly skirting around the edges. They just won't do what's expected of them. Bitterness could be creeping in right there. Parents, children, provoke not thy children to wrath. In other words, don't make them bitter. Parents can do that. Parents can do that, okay? And we don't have time to go in deep on all of these things here tonight. A husband can get bitter if a wife doesn't submit or show reverence. A wife can get bitter if her husband doesn't show her love. A parent can get bitter if a child doesn't obey. A child can get bitter if a father or parent provokes. A master, a boss can get bitter if a servant doesn't obey, and vice versa. Remember that sometimes a godly desire, we've talked about that. I desire that you fulfill your biblical role toward me. That godly desire can become a fleshly lust if we become angry and bitter when we don't get what we want. It goes from a godly desire to an idol at that point. So what can we do? Okay, I think I have that in your notes there. What can we do about this? Well, take good notes tonight, and the next time you see that person, let them have it. No, maybe not. Let's look at Colossians chapter 3, verse 1. We're going to go back to the beginning of the chapter. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth. So before Paul even gets to all these different roles that he lists at the end of chapter 3, the first part of the chapter sets the context for all of this. This is for all of those different relationships. And I know there's that one verse on the back page that husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. Masters, treat your employees fairly and be not bitter against them. Parents, don't be bitter against your children. Children, don't be bitter against that verse. Husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. The only thing Paul didn't do was repeat and be not bitter against them after all those different roles that he lists. But the context establishes that. So the first two verses tells us what we can do, because there's this all of these moving parts where we can get bitter. They can get bitter. What do we do? Set our affections on things above. First two verses point that out very clearly. Seek those things which are above. Set our affections on things above. That starts it off right there. Our focus is on God, not on what she's not doing or what she is doing that I don't like, or those kids. Ugh, can't take them anywhere. Our focus is on our love for God. Set your affections above. We desire God. You know, I wake up in the morning. Can you guess what my desire is first thing in the morning? More specifically, espresso. Okay. I've become more of a coffee snob. I'll have you know, I have to have my espresso. And yes, that's my desire when I get up in the morning. Unfortunately, there's two things that have to be done first. The dogs have to eat and they got to go outside because their bladders are full. OK, so I got to do that first. But my focus is on the espresso. Once I get the dogs taken care of, what am I doing? I'm making my espresso, right? OK, focused on satisfying my desire. So my desire is God and His love. What am I doing? Everything I'm doing is focused on satisfying my desire for God. My wife can get up in the mornings when I do. Sometimes she does. Okay. If she does, I don't even know it, because I'm focused on what I'm doing. Nothing else matters. The dogs are outside barking at a squirrel at 5 o'clock in the morning. Who cares? Waking up the neighbor. I don't care. I'm focused on what I'm doing. All of these little things that could distract me and irritate me. It doesn't matter. I'm focused on what I'm doing. That's how we apply this to all of these different roles in relationships in our lives. We're focused on God. That's what we desire. Nothing else matters. That's what we want. When we are saved, folks, our old man was crucified. And we are no longer a slave to our sin nature. But we still have that sin nature, don't we? So, what do we do? The next thing, put off the old man. Look with me at Colossians chapter 3, verse 5. It says, mortify therefore. Hold on, let me stop. First part of the chapter, we're setting our affections on God. That's where it starts. Next, we now have to mortify your members which are upon the earth. Fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry, for which things sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience, in the which ye also walked sometime when ye lived in them. But now ye also put off all these. More things are added to the things that we need to put off. Anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that you have put off the old man with his deeds. Did you notice how many of those things dealt with some form of bitterness? It's woven throughout this passage here. If these things are present, okay, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication, and that's just not using foul language. I think that's also just the way we talk to each other sometimes when we're mad. Like we would not talk to each other, like we would not talk to anyone at church like that. Mean sarcasm, cut downs, all of those. If those things are present in your life, okay, tomorrow, tonight, whatever, they give proof that we're not obeying God by putting off. Just like these things demonstrate that we haven't put off, it also shows there are actions that we haven't put on. Let's look at what we're supposed to put on as a new man. Listen to what this person sounds like in contrast to the one Paul just described for us. Verse 10, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, here they are, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long suffering. How do those things look? Well, let's read on. Forbearing one another, forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. Okay, here's those things. Mercy, kindness, humility, patience, love. Well, that describes a bitter person, doesn't it? Not. Not even. But if we don't have these things when it comes to our spouse, our children, our parents, yes, if your parents are living, we still have parents. When it comes to people in authority over us or people under us, there could be bitterness if we don't have those things put on. So when these things aren't there, when the things of verses 5 through 8 are there, what do? Set our affections on the things above. Ask God ask God, God, what do I need to put off? I know these things aren't there. These other things that I'm supposed to put off are there. What do I need to put off? And what do I need to put on right now, God? Because this is not good what's happening. Here's another way of applying this. When others are not serving you like God has commanded them to, fulfilling their role, do you ever put on the new man? When that's happening, do you put on the new man and just demonstrate mercy and kindness and humility and meekness and patience and forgiveness and love toward them? Right while they're not doing what they're supposed to be doing. That's what we should be doing. A couple more things that we can do. Colossians chapter 3. Look with me in verse 15. And it says, and then let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Now, let me just stop right there. I'm going to ask upstairs if you could put verse 10 back up for us. Colossians 3 and verse 10. Thank you. And they put on the new man, which is, what does it say? Renewed in knowledge. How does that happen? We've got to know God's word. We've got to know God's word. And I just wanted to go back and emphasize that if we're going to put off, we got to know what to put off. If we're going to put on, we got to know what to put on. God's word tells us that. So we need to know God's word. Back to verse 15. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Okay? There's one thing, be ye thankful. But now look at verse 16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, kind of stemming back to verse 10 now. In all wisdom, teaching, admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. If I could just pause right there too. So the word of Christ is dwelling in us. We're taking in God's word. And what does it say we do with it? Teaching and admonishing one another. All through this series, we've been considering how not only is this for us, but for us to help other people. Because we don't want to fan their bitterness. And the way to not fan bitterness when someone is bitter is to give them truth. So we are learning the word of Christ is dwelling in us richly. We have wisdom, and so we're sharing that with others. And then verse 17, kind of the capstone, whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Twice in those three verses, it says, be ye thankful in verse 15, and in verse 17, giving thanks in everything. The unfair boss, the spouse, the child, the parent, anyone in authority over us, not just our boss. Giving thanks. Okay. So what are we learning from this? First thing, the peace of God rules. The peace of God rules. The word of Christ needs to be in us. And then it says to be thankful. Three more things that we can do. So when you cease to fulfill your God-given role because you are bitter toward them, or you are bitter toward them because they're not fulfilling their God-given roles, know this. It's because you are no longer thankful. That's why that bitterness is there. So I don't know all of your spouses, okay? Like real well, certainly not as well as you, but I don't think we have okay. Since it's the men that are gonna end this with that verse, I don't know any guy in here whose wife literally flies around on a broomstick. Okay? They can't stand to go home as soon as they walk in the door. Okay? I don't know any of your wives that are like that. But even if your wife was like that, what does verse 15 and 17 say? Be thankful. And if I'm bitter because my wife, okay, didn't bow when I walked in the house, whatever, I'm supposed to be thankful for her. And I'm supposed to be thankful for that boss of mine that I had when I was in sales. And I'm supposed to be thankful for those people that are under me, under my authority. And they're not perfect, but then neither is their boss. And I'm supposed to be thankful for the local government and the law enforcement. And I'm supposed to be thankful for state government. And when I'm not, what can that look like?
They're doing this. I can't believe it.
And there's a lot to do that with right now, at least in Illinois, right? We can be right. That other person can be wrong. And we can do that without being bitter. And it starts with being thankful according to what God says. Remember, whatever the situation, God is, whatever the role, whatever unfairness is in those roles, God is always seeking to refine your righteousness. It's called the process of sanctification. He's always seeking to refine your righteousness, your godliness, your faith, your love, your patience, your meekness, all of those things that we read. So when those things happen, give thanks for what God is seeking to refine in your life right during that moment. What about? I think that's a heading in your notes there. So I want to take a few moments here and apply what we've looked at. Let me see. Yeah, we got a few moments left. We need to apply this because bitterness hinders our prayers. Most of you must not have been bitter yesterday because God answered your prayers for Carlton. Okay. Colossians 3, verse 19. Husbands, love your wives. Be not bitter against them. That applies to all the relationships that are in this chapter. But for the sake of simplicity, let's choose the relationship that God uses here. Husbands, he's speaking to them and their wives. Why would a husband become more bitter toward his wife? Don't even answer. I'm not going to make you do that. Colossians chapter 3, because I know right now you're thinking, oh, yeah, I could tell him a few reasons why a husband can become bitter at his wife, but I don't want to get killed when I get home. OK, those would all be the wrong answers. Why would a husband become bitter with his wife? Colossians 3, verses 1 and 2. We might say their affections are on self and not heaven. That's what we just learned. Why might a husband become bitter with his wife? Colossians 3, 3 through 14. We might say they need to put off and put on something in their life. Why would a husband become bitter with his wife? Colossians 3, 15. We might say they just need to be thankful. But those three things, they all flow from our primary sin, which is a lack of faith that God is sovereign. And our two secondary sins that we've looked at, pride and lust, a lack of faith plus pride, our pride, our lust, may cause us to do, remember, one of two things. We either fight, that's where we get angry, or we flee and we close up. And we just harbor it until we explode. A husband may stop loving or become bitter toward his wife when she causes him suffering because of her sin or because of his own sin even. What are some areas in which she might sin against him and cause him to suffer? Areas that she might sin against him and cause him to suffer. And let me just say, this goes both ways. You don't have to say them. I'll say them. I spent some time thinking through these, okay? And these things that she might sin against him, guys can do that against their wives as well. Here's one. The way she talks to him. Maybe her speech is full of sarcasm. Or instead of building him up and edifying him, as God says, we all should do, she puts him down. In his thinking, she always has something negative to say. Ephesians 4:29, 1 Thessalonians 5:11, both of them talk about edifying, edification. If she's not scolding him, she's screaming at him. Remember, these things can go both ways. Or, as one author suggested, how about what she does or doesn't do? And this is his quote. She's lazy. Won't clean. Won't cook. She spends and spends and spends. She won't take care of the kids. And the physical part of marriage is only if and when she wants it. Yes, in the flesh, his love for her is dying. But his bitterness against her is flourishing as his love is dying. Because of her sinning against him. But notice I said this. In the flesh, he was becoming more and more bitter against his wife. And it works both ways. Okay? Parents, children, those in authority over us or under us. Just because they are sinning against us does not give us the right to sin against them by not showing mercy, kindness, humility, patience, love. That man has to respond to his wife, not in the flesh, as that verse pointed out, in the flesh. He needs to respond to her in the spirit. And what would that look like? Galatians 5:22. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. That's how he should respond to his wife when she's not fulfilling her role. Ladies, that's how you should respond to your spouse when they're not fulfilling their role. Or our boss isn't fulfilling their role. Or our children, or our parents, or whatever the case is. We respond in the Spirit, and we'll have those fruits of the Spirit. So, we're going to stop there. Let's take a break and go to our prayer time now.